الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal,
إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily the believers, the mu'mineen, are those who, when the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned before them, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, their hearts shiver with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, and when they see the ayat and the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all around them in the universe, then their iman increases. Zadatum imana. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they have faith and tawakkul and reliance on their Rabb. رَبِّهِمْ, Allah associated Himself, their Rabb. And this reliance and this tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a result of the first two things. Is a result of what happens to the heart when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, and is a result of what happens to their iman when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, or when they see the signs and ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the kainat around them. I remind myself and you to monitor our hearts. What is the state of your heart? And Allah has given us the criterion to judge. Allah has given us the meter to monitor the state of the heart. How do I know what is the state of my heart? By this. Does anything happen to my heart when the name of Allah is mentioned before me? Does anything happen to my iman, to the state of my iman, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat are recited before me? This has nothing to do with the tune of the recitation. It has to do with understanding the meaning of the recitation and seeing what is the effect of that recitation on my heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the power of His recitation. He mentioned the power of His kalam, of His revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this kalam is so powerful and so majestic and so glorious that if this kalam was sent on a mountain, what is the meaning of the kalam sent on a mountain? Does it mean put the book on a rock? Kalam sent on the mountain means that if the mountain understood this kalam, if it received this kalam as is the haqq of this kalam to be received, then the mountain would disintegrate. The mountain would humble itself. The mountain would turn to dust. The mountain would break up and become flat. Min khashyatillah, by the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the glory and majesty of Allah, by the fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, by the concern to ensure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always pleased with me and is never displeased. And I make this dua for all of you. May Allah always be pleased with you and never be displeased with you. This is the condition of the heart which must be monitored. If I tell you that every day you must go to the gym and you must do exercises and you must lift some weights and you must do some aerobics, and when you eat, make sure that you do not eat high cholesterol food and eat a lot of fiber and eat a lot of protein and do not overdose on carbs. If I tell you all of this, you will say, MashaAllah, very good advice. Excellent advice. We must take care of our body. No doubt about that. What about the soul? What about the soul? What about the ruh? The roh also needs food. The soul also needs food. The soul also needs to eat. The soul also feels hungry. The soul also needs exercise. The soul also needs to be strengthened. The body will finish with this life. The soul stays with us. What about the soul? What is the condition of our soul? It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make my soul visible to you. It is the lihaf, it is the cover that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on me that my soul is not visible to you. Because if my soul became visible to you, Allah alam, I don't know what you will think. If a leper comes before us, not that we are supposed to have, you know, we are supposed to be disgusted or anything like this by leprosy is a disease, it is not evil. But it is the natural tendency of the person. When you see somebody who is a leper and his nose is gone and his ear is gone and his fingers are gone and he's got sores all over his body and so on, only the amazingly compassionate will not feel a sense of some holding back, some hijab. And most people will feel very disgusted. And if the leper puts forward his hand to shake his hand, he says, hey, I can't do that. Can't shake your hand. Even if he tells you, my leprosy is completely cured, this is just the effect of it. The nose has gone, it won't grow back. It's completely cured. Even then, if he shows you a certificate to show that this leprosy is completely cured, no danger of any infection whatsoever, still you will not shake his hand. What would happen if Allah showed you my soul? Wallahi. This is the mercy of Allah. Jalla Jalaluhu. Do I have the soul of a leper? Does my soul look as if it has leprosy? My brothers and sisters, Allah gave us the meter to monitor this soul, to monitor this heart, this qalb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. You heard that ayah in Witr. Allah said he has succeeded. The one who purified his soul, one who purified his heart, the qalb. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. So what is the state of this heart? To monitor the state of the heart, diagnosis. I invite you, go into your heart now and see what there is. Close your eyes, I will recite some Quran for you. Forget the tune of the recitation, see what is happening to the heart. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد
لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو حي داعم لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير My brothers and sisters, let us look at our hearts and let us see what we have done to those hearts. Mercifully, unlike leprosy, the effect of whatever has been done to the heart can be reversed. The effect of whatever we have done to the heart can be reversed. Whatever has happened, you don't have to live with that.
We don't have to live with that. Think about that day about which, may Allah bless the Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al Mursal for his recitation in Tahajjud. About that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Salamun qawlan min Rabbir Rahim, wa amtazul yawma ayyuhal mujrimun. The mujrimun will be ordered on that day to say, move aside. Move aside. Stand up. Be identified. Imtiaz on the basis of what? Not on the basis of honor. Wamtazul yawm ayyuhal mujrimun. Imtiaz on the basis of jurum. Stand up and be identified as mujrimin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remind us, Alama ahad ilaykum ya bani adama alla ta'budu ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. Did you not make an ahad? Did you not have a covenant? Did you not have a treaty? Did you not have an agreement? Did you not promise? That you will not worship shaitan. Then what happened to that promise? What happened to that promise? You say Allah is unreal to you. Shaitan is real to you. That's why Allah is unreal to you. How do you breathe? Did you create yourself? You came into this world because of the amr of Allah. You will leave this world because of the amr of Allah. Every breath you take is the amr of Allah. Your soul is the amr of Allah. Yas'alunaka 'anir ruh, qul ar-ruhu min amri rabbi. It is the amr of my Rabb. You eat your food and you go to sleep. You're not bothered, you have no control. You eat your food and you go to sleep. Who is it who runs your entire digestive system without disturbing your sleep? And gives you the strength, and you use the strength in disobeying him. Who is it that who comes to the first heaven and says, who is there who wants something from me? And those who want nothing from him are sleeping in their beds. The treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are opened here. Take, come and loot. And there are those who are sleeping and saying, no, I don't want it. Keep it. Keep it. And then you complain. And then you complain. Who is it that sent his kalam, which has the power to humble mountains? But the mountains that we have created in our hearts, the blocks of rock which we call our hearts, nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to them. Because that rock in the heart, which we call the heart, we do nothing on it. We are not concerned about ourselves, we are concerned about pointing fingers at other people. So what is the cure? monitor your heart. The cure will affect you only if you use the cure. The cure is that tahajjud. The cure is that dua. The cure is the salah. But instead of doing that, seriously, get serious with your life. We don't know how much we have left. We do not know how much we have left. And don't be fooled by the fact that you are young or old and so on and so forth. Not a single one of us sitting here or anywhere on the planet can say that he has as much life left as he has already spent, or he has more left than what he spent. You can't say that. I can't say, well, you know, I'm already so many years old, so it's unlikely that I will live for another that many years. No, we don't know. We don't know any of that. You can't say, well, I'm only 20, I'm only 19, I'm only 18, I'm only 12, so I've got at least another 75 years. You cannot say that. In our own community, in our own masjid, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless those boys who died, but we had a couple of our children who died in accidents. Who expected them to die? Seriously, let us get serious about our lives. Monitor the heart. You monitor the heart by seeing what happens to the heart with the tilawat of the kalam of Allah. You monitor the heart by looking at what happens to you when you are in salah. You monitor the heart by looking at your and my own amal. If your heart is in good condition, it will not allow you to disobey Allah. If your heart is in a good condition, it will not allow you to disobey the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you find that you are going against the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a symptom of the disease of the heart. The disease of the heart is not only fatal, but it is worse than the physical diseases of the heart, than cardiac problems. Because that disease is the disease of nifaq. It is the disease of hypocrisy. It is the disease of saying something and doing something else. And that disease will not get cured when you die. It will not get cured by popping pills. The cure for that disease is to make tawbah. The cure for that disease is to take charge of your life and say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not grab you in the middle of your disobedience, that He kept you alive. Allah did not keep you alive so that you can eat some more food. We are all just walking, talking food processors. And a food processor, at least, raw material goes in and good stuff comes out. But we have food processors where good stuff goes in and garbage comes out. Nothing to be proud of. If that's all we do in our lives, make some money, eat some food, build a house, get married, have a couple of kids, die. There is no difference between you and a cow. Except that the cow will eat more than you, and it doesn't have stress. Huh? So decide. Enough is enough. Let us take charge of our lives. You have come here for a purpose. Why is it that I am seeing people praying the two rakat of sunnah of fajr after the fard? Where were you when the fard was being prayed? How is it you are not here to pray the two rakat of sunnah of fajr before the fard, which is the right way of doing it? You come all the way here to take part in this program. You take 5 days out, and not only do you miss tahajjud, but even the fajr, The two rakat of sunnah you can't pray before the you come late, so you after the fard you pray two rakat of sunnah. What is this? Believe me, I don't have to say all this. I don't care two hoots. Makes no difference to me. I come here for my Islah. My Islah will happen whether you pray or you don't pray. And what sawab I get, I will get inshallah bismillah ta'ala. Why do I care? You came here, up to you. Pray, don't pray, sleep, don't sleep. Do what you want. What is it to me? Why am I saying all this? Well, I don't like to see waste. What is the good of coming here and spending the time in your bed? I mean, if you want to sleep, go home and sleep, man. Get serious with your life. Get serious with your life. And alhamdulillah, you are also seeing the other brothers and sisters who are serious with their lives. Mashallah, I come here, there are people here before me. They are praying, they are on time, alhamdulillah. People older than you, people younger than you. Mashallah, these young boys here, mashallah, may Allah bless them. All of them here, first saf. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them. And keep them, give them istiqamat and keep them firm. Please get serious with your life. Don't waste your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us only one lifetime. Make use of it. Don't blow it away. Maximize your gain. You came here to this place for a purpose. Fulfill that purpose. Take and go. We are not asking you for anything. Allah does not ask you for anything. Say, take and go. What's the problem with taking? We have to discipline ourselves. Otherwise, believe me, it's not a good way to die. That when you are dying, you die full of regrets. Hasrat ki maut. Kaash maine aisa kiya hota. Kaash maine waisa kiya hota. I wish I had done that. I wish I had woken up. I wish I had done this. I wish I had made this dua. Very bad way to die. Do not die like this. Make sure that you maximize the return in this life by disciplining yourself, by monitoring your soul, by being concerned about it. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayh was the He became a dean, he became like a chancellor of something of Jami Nizami of the university, and he was in his 30s. And one day, he disappeared. And what he had done was that he made arrangements for his family. He had, his son died when he was young, so he had no male children, he had only daughters. So he made arrangements for his family. And he left them and he went away to travel. Not for sightseeing, not as a tourist. He went to travel to the centers of learning in the Islamic world and for his own Islah. And 2 years of that travel, he spent sweeping the mosque in Damascus as a janitor. Nobody knew who he was. He made sure nobody recognized him. One of the greatest ulama of this ummah. And one day he was sweeping the mosque and there was a halaqa of ulama, of scholars sitting there, and he was sweeping near them. A man came and asked a question. And the ulama deliberated and they said to the man, sorry, we don't know the answer of this question. Now Imam Al-Ghazali is listening to all this. So when the man, he didn't get his answer. He wanted an answer. He wanted a solution. He didn't get that. So he was going away. And Imam Al-Ghazali felt bad about this, that a man came to ask for something and he didn't get it. So he called him. And he said to him, this was your question? He said, yes. He said, this is the answer. This is the solution. And the man started laughing. He said, you are telling me? He said, you are a sweeper. What do you know? He said, these are the scholars. They didn't say anything. What are you telling me? Why should I listen to you? So some of the scholars, they noticed, they called the man and said, what are you carrying on? Come here, come here. What's all this? Why are you making noise? Come here. So the man came back. So he said, what happened? So the man laughed and he said, you know, I asked you this question and you guys said you didn't know the answer. Well, that sweeper knows the answer. He told me the answer. How can I believe him? The man said, what did he say? So he said, this is what he said. They said, wallahi, that is the answer. They said, that is the answer. Where is the sweeper? He's gone. He's gone. Doesn't want to be recognized. Why does he have to sweep the masjid? He said, my heart has become dead. My heart has become dead. He left a job which was the peak of his career. Ministerial rank, money, honor. Left all that. Why? Concern for the heart. I was in Jamaat in New York and somebody came and said, please come and meet our people, our Sathis, and speak to them. So I said, okay, we'll go. I said, what time will you come? He said, I'll come and take you. I said, what time will you come? He said, 11 o'clock. So I said, tomorrow morning 11. He said, no, tonight 11. I said, night 11 o'clock? He said, yes. He said, what kind of thing is this? He said, well, they're all taxi drivers. They're free only at that time. I said, okay. So I went, they took me to this apartment. Small apartment, two bedrooms. And the whole bunch of them came, so the place was filled with people. They're all sitting literally sort of on top of one another and so on. And then I said whatever I had to say. And they were explaining to me, they said, this four apartment, there are 8 beds and there are 16 of us who live here. I said, 8 beds, 16 people live? They said, yes. One sleeps while the other one is working, and that one comes and sleeps. This one gets up, that one comes and sleeps. So we do not even change the sheets on the bed. There's no time. And one of them, I'm talking about the heart, and then one of them was, as I was talking, he was weeping and weeping and weeping. So I said, what did I say which made him cry so much? So then he said, I want to talk to you. So I said, okay. He came to me, he said, Sheikh, he said, when I came to New York from Pakistan, he said, I was Hafiz of the Quran. So I said, now what happened? He said, now I'm a Hafiz of the roads of New York. He said, the Quran is gone. The Quran is gone. Condition of the heart. Ibrahim Adhem Rahmatullah Ali was the king of Balkh, one of the kingdoms of Afghanistan. And he felt one day that something is wrong with his heart. Imagine, I'm talking about people who had everything in the world. The man is the king, he's born in a palace, he's sitting on a throne, he's got all the wealth in the world, you know. He says, something is wrong with my heart. So he went searching for a musleh, searching for someone to do his islah. And they pointed him, they said, go to so-and-so sheikh. He went there and told the sheikh, he said, I'm so-and-so, I've come to you, please make my islah. Correct me, teach me. So the sheikh said to him, he said, down there is the stable of my horse. Said, go and make a place for yourself in the stable of the horse and stay there and make zikr of Allah. So this is the king of Balkh, Ibrahim Adhem. He went and cleaned up a small place in the stable of the horse. I don't know how many of you have smelt the inside of a stable of horses. I spent all my youth inside the stables of horses because I used to play polo and I love horse riding, so I know what it smells like. So he made a place for himself and he is sitting there and making zikr of Allah. In the evening, but the whole day passed. Imagine how many hours. Just think about that. Just we had one particular day, how many hours? Whole day, just make dhikr of Allah. The Shaykh is not talking to him, he's not teaching him, nothing. He just make dhikr of Allah. So in the evening, the sais, the groom of the horse, the horse was grazing somewhere, so he brought the horse back. So the Shaykh called him and he said, when you go and stable the horse, when you go and park the horse, and you are grooming the horse and cleaning the stable, he said, there's a man sitting there making dhikr. He said, throw some dirt on him. This is the issue of islah. The man goes, Ibrahim Adem went there with heart disease. And this is the medicine, this is the doctor giving the medicine. What is the medicine? He said, throw some dirt on him. So the groom now is grooming the horse, and while he's sweeping and so on, he flicks some dirt on Ibrahim Adem. Now imagine Ibrahim Adem's mental psychology, what must have been his position. Here is the king of Balkh. He comes to the Shaykh with the best of intentions. He wants to learn about Allah. He wants Islam. He wants Jannah. He wants forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to learn about Islam. He comes with the best of intentions. And first this man, the Shaykh, he tells him to go and stay in the stable of the horse. He doesn't give him a decent place for human beings. He goes stay with the animal. And on top of that, now this says, this groom, who is a groom? For the king of Balkh, the groom is less than a cockroach. Who is the groom? You don't even see the groom if you are a king. Your ADC brings the horse to you. The groom doesn't bring. The groom doesn't come in your presence. He's there. Somebody is taking care of something. He does not even look at the groom. This groom, not only is he there in my face, but he's throwing dirt on me. What do you think the man will do? So Ibrahim Adem did not beat him up, or he didn't slaughter him or something, but he said whatever he wanted to say. But this is treatment. This is not just a groom doing something. This is the treatment. So what do you do when you apply a medicine and it doesn't work? You change the medicine. The groom goes back and he says to the doctor, well, he said, what happened? He said, this is what happened. That Shaykh made Ibrahim Adem rahmatullah alayhi sit in that stable for 12 years. 12 years. You're talking about a 5-day program? 12 years. Nothing. Dhikr of Allah. Now that is not the bottom line of the story. The bottom line of the story is, why did Ibrahim Adem sit there for 12 years? After all, he didn't put a collar around his neck. He didn't tie him to a peg in the ground. No. Ibrahim Adem could have stood up and said, what kind of a bloody sheikh are you? You have no akhlaq, you have no manners. You first make me stay in a stable with a horse. Then your stupid groom comes and throws some dirt on me, and if I tell him what I should tell him, then you make me say, do nothing. I came here to learn Bukhari. I came here to learn tafsir of Quran. I came here to learn usul of hadith. I came here to learn usul of fiqh. I came here for this and this. You teach me nothing. You tell me, go make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're a useless sheikh. You are a useless sheikh. So what do? I go sheikh shopping until I find a compatible sheikh. And when I find my compatible sheikh, I say, MashaAllah, ya sheikhana, anta bahrul ulum. You are a sea of knowledge. Ibrahim Adhem rahmatullah alayhi sat in that stable and made dhikr for 12 years, not for the love of the horse. He sat in that stable because he recognized his disease. He recognized his illness and he knew this is the cure. If it takes 12 years, it takes 12 years. And the Shaykh didn't tell him this is a 12-year course. He said, do dhikr. How long? Until your disease is cured. We know it was 12 years because we know what happened. But when Ibrahim Adem was sitting and making dhikr, from January 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5, he did not know it will take 12 years. How long is this course? Until your disease is cured. And what is the disease? kibr, arrogance. The same disease which makes ignorant fools point fingers at others. Arrogance. I am better than you. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless such shuyukh, and may Allah bless such students. That is what made Ibrahim Adhem somebody whose name we take and we say Rahmatullah Ali. One of the great scholars of Islam. He got the deen. He got the knowledge. He got the book. And he got the knowledge of the book. But first, preparation to receive the knowledge of the book. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. First, prepare. You do not plant the best seed in the world. You take it and try to plant it on a rock. You take it and try to plant it in soil which is unsuitable, in sand, in broken soil, in soil which is full of all kinds of vermin. The best seed in the world will not germinate, and will not, even if it germinates, it will die. Nothing is wrong with the seed, the best seed in the world. Ahsanul hadithi kitab Allah. وَخَيْرُ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَحْبِهُ وَسَلَّمُ. But it will not have any effect if the soil is not prepared. And the preparation of that soil is tazkiyah. That is the tazkiyah. Cleaning of the soil. Purification of the soil. Tazkiyatun nafs. Purification of the soul. Purification of the qalb. Tazkiyatul qalb. And that comes from the dhikr of Allah, that comes from being concerned about the heart, that comes from reflecting and being concerned about yourself and seeing what is the effect of this heart of mine on my body, on my akhlaq, on my muamilat, on how I speak, what do I do, what do I not do, what do my eyes see. The same ayat of Suratul Yaseen, what comes after, what have I eyesighted? اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. What will they say? What will my eyes speak? What will my ears say about what I made them hear? Allah made my body subservient to me in this life. My eyes have no choice but to see whatever I tell them to see. But on the day of judgment, they will stand before Allah and they will say, Allah, He made me look at haram. Punish him. Punish him. We did not want to look at haram. He made us look at haram. We did not want to listen to haram. He made us listen to haram. The hand will say, Ya Allah, I did not want to be a jabir. I did not want to do jabr. I did not want to do zulam. But he made me do zulm. The tongue will say, Ya Allah, I did not want to do ghiba and slander. I did not want to speak, but he made me speak. The legs will say, Oh Allah, I did not want to go there. He dragged me to that place. I wanted to go to the masjid to stand before you, but he did not let me get up from the bed. The body will speak. The skin will speak. What will they say? What will they say? My brothers and sisters, have mercy on yourself. Have mercy on yourself. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, to help you to maximize your return from this place. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to focus your lives and put your lives in online and never to allow you to deviate from Sirat al-Mustaqim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. I ask Allah to give you the tawfiq to come and make the du'a, not sleep in your bed. And I ask Allah to inspire you to make the du'as which are beneficial for you and to accept those du'as from you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all that I have asked and then to give more from His grace and His majesty as a gift to you, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.